First scripture from Numbers 28, verses 26 to 31. Also on the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your feast of weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord. Two young bulls, one ram, and seven lambs in the first year, with their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, and 2/10 for the one ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also one kid of the goats to make atonement for you. Be sure they are without blemish. You shall present them with their drink offerings beside the regular burnt offering with its grain offering. The second is Deuteronomy 16, verses 9 through 12. You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Then you shall keep the feast of weeks to the Lord your God, with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes.
This is your little bit of teaching for the evening. The roots of Pentecost are back in the Old Testament. In this celebration, one of the feasts of the Lord, the Feast of Weeks, where they were to come and bring the first fruits of their harvest. And and it says in Numbers 28:27, you shall present a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And then it goes on and details the offering to be brought and the different aspects of that. And of course, we don't bring sacrifices and offerings because Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord, offered himself. He became our sacrifice, our Passover on the cross. And so we don't do all of those things, but we do offer ourselves, according to Romans 12, as living sacrifices. And so this feast of the Lord, I think, is a time to remember that we are sacrifices every day in every way. We are to be living sacrifices, our very members offered to him in order to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then in the instructions given in Deuteronomy chapter 16, it says in verse 11, you shall rejoice. And that just captured my attention. You shall rejoice. It's a time of rejoicing. And everyone, you, your son, your daughter, your male and female servants, your employees, the Levite who's within your gate, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, everyone, rejoice. You shall rejoice. And I think there's a hint of a promise there. It's not just a command, rejoice, but you shall rejoice. And how is it that we are able to rejoice? Because he puts the spirit of rejoicing in us. One of the songs we haven't sung yet, but a golden oldie. When the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart, I will sing, I will dance, I will fight like David fought, all the different verses there. But, it's only as the Spirit enables us that we are able to bring an offering to the Lord or do anything for the Lord. And then the last verse, you shall remember you were a slave in Egypt. Not a slave any longer. Hallelujah. So don't live like a slave. But remember, oh yeah, I was there. And don't think of it the way the Israelites did in the wilderness. Oh, I wish I could go back to Egypt and eat the cucumbers and leeks and onions and have really good breath afterwards. No. I'm so glad I'm not in Egypt anymore. Thank you, Lord. I want to live in my freedom, free in the Spirit. So,
Isaiah 32:15-18. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. In Isaiah 44:1-5. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Ezekiel 36:26-27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them.
So, this morning, our daughter called. You know, I'm just sitting here kind of putting a couple things together, and it started out kind of shallow, and she was doing that I'm a nervous daughter thing, because I really want some godly advice right now, but I really don't want to ask for it. So that's really what she was doing. So she was making up conversations, and it was almost like, oh my gosh, I just want to hang up, you know, because it was. But then she started getting to the meat of it, and she just said, Dad, I'm so empty. I'm empty. And I was like, well, good. You know, that was the best advice I could give her. I'm glad that you're not making peace with the world, and that you can't live between two worlds. And I just reminded her, and we reminded her that she has a destiny in God, and she has a call in God to be a woman of God, to be much more than she was presently. She had a horrible Mother's Day, she went over to visit her children on Mother's Day, and within 5 minutes, her husband chased her out of the house because he was just explosive. You know, I mean, it's like, how dare you get a couple of moments? I'm the one raising the kids right now. You know, so he just went ballistic, and it broke my daughter. She said, "Dad, I cried like I haven't cried in years. It just tore me up." And she goes, "It was deeper than a normal cry. It was a deep cry." And I just shared with her, you know, when the Lord began to break me, when I was a younger man, my whole life started unraveling. And I just, I guess the reason I'm sharing all this is just the faithfulness of God to His elect children. And so I got to scripture this morning, and while we were sitting in here, I wish it wasn't through. You're going to have to be patient with, because this is my Bible with me today. But it's out of Zechariah 10. It started in Proverbs 16:15, but I'm not going to read all the way through that. That'd be a lot of reading, right? But I've started a new practice again of just reading a psalm of the day and a proverb of the day. Because if we want wisdom and we want understanding of the Lord, I think that's a good place to start. I've actually told our Bible study people to hopefully take that on too. I've taken it to heart. And I got that, something from the Lord out of Proverbs 16:15. And I didn't realize how much it, when I was reading this morning, I was just kind of putzing along and reading, and, you know, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways are the ways of death. And I'm like, nothing's really ringing. And then I get to this scripture about the latter rain. And I didn't even put together tonight. Matter of fact, I kind of forgot. And that's the scripture that he quickened to me again this morning or tonight. But here it is in Zechariah 10. It says, "Ask ye of Jehovah rain in the time of the latter rain, even of Jehovah that maketh lightnings, and he will give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field." It says a couple other things. Well, it says this in verse 2. Sometimes the challenge that we face when we're looking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit or refreshing in the Holy Spirit is sometimes we have to leave off some other stuff. We have stuff that we look to, even sometimes where it becomes a god to us. And here he says in verse 2, "For the teraphim have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and they have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they go their own way. They go their way like sheep. They are afflicted because there is no shepherd." And it's just, you know, the Lord has said, like Keith got up here, and I got some prayer from him this weekend. And he said, "Adam, it's never been a problem of your giftings. The real issue here is your character. you need more of the Lord guiding and leading your life." So I just and my only way to get to that is I need to be filled more with the Spirit. You know, I've done this a little too long to think that there's any chance that it's that Adam will just all of a sudden get good character. That guy, I have, you know, messed my mind up pretty good trying to do that. But when the Holy Spirit fills me, encourages me, gives me the revelation of Jesus, because that's, I think a lot of us really need more of a revelation of Jesus. Because when I get a revelation of Jesus, you know what? I don't want anything else. Nothing else makes me jump for anything. I don't want anything else but Him. All right, I'll read this one scripture and then I'll sit down here. It's Proverbs 16:15. I hope it's in the American Standard Version, which I do like, but there was something else I liked in the other one. "In the light of the king's countenance is life." In the light of King Jesus' countenance, there is life, right? "And his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain." It actually says in the King James, it says a bright cloud. You know how we shine when we've got our eyes fixed firmly upon Jesus, and it's off of the other things. So I'm just believing that the Lord hears the prayer for my daughter, which if you don't mind, I just want to take half a second. Yeah. Oh, bless you, brother. I just love that kid so much, and I know God loves her, and I know she's in over her head, man. We're all in over our head unless Jesus intervene. And you know, she's just facing things that she's had to face all her life. She's getting ready to birth her fourth child to her third husband or to her third man, however you want to. My daughter just texted me. Let me see if I can read it. No, that's not what I mean. I just want to make sure that... it's like, Dad, you're evil. No, I wouldn't want to read that. The head with that. Exactly. Oh, that's so sweet. I told her... I said, I felt the Holy Spirit give me a word for her. I said, honey, I want you to look up the word humanism. I want you to study humanism. And so she texted me later on in the afternoon. She goes, what was that word you said to me to study humanism? And I said, yes, I want. So I wrote her back. And then she wrote back, completely hit the nail on the head with that one. That's exactly how I've been living my life, to be honest with you. Isn't that awesome? So, So, okay, I'm excited. I'm not trying to take anybody's show, but if my daughter, maybe something really cool is happening for her, I mean, what's the odds of me standing here and her texting me right at this moment? I'm just willing to believe God that He's actually stretching forth His love, His affection, His restoration. You know, I don't deserve it, but she does because God loves her. So, Lord, I just believe you, Lord. I don't even feel much emotion into this, Lord, but I just sovereignly believe that you have a heart for this girl, Lord, that she's lost. Lord, she's in need. Lord, she's empty. She knows she's empty, Lord. She's just wandering like a vagabond almost, Lord. She has no satisfaction in anything that she's doing. She's even worried about having another baby, Father, because she knows that the pattern of her life. Lord, answer her, Lord. Answer her little attempts, Lord, to come near you, Lord. Open heaven for her. Open and make wide a way. Lord, I know how when you restore your saints, Lord, when you go after them with your passion and your zeal, my God, you get rid of all the hindrances and you go right directly towards your child, my God, and you move every barrier out of the way. Good, bad, indifferent, it makes no humanistic. It doesn't matter if it's in the way of the plans of King Jesus, Lord. You will destroy the plans of the devil. And as Ashley was told today, Lord, that you will turn to good every evil plan that has been planned against her life, Lord, if she'll just turn to you. Make this her night, my God. Can this be like a first fruit offering to you, Lord, that she would be restored, that she would call out to you, Lord, that you would fill her fresh with your Holy Spirit, Father? It would make my dad heart glad, but it would also just make a wonderful testimony for your goodness, Lord, in the hearts and lives of people, Lord. And I believe you for it tonight, Jesus. I believe you.
Scripture is John 14:25 through 26. These things I have spoken to you while you being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all things that I said to you. Second one is John 15:26 through 27. But when the Helper comes, whom shall I send to you from the Father? The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The last one is John 16:7-15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, and the righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of me of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you.
One thing that Jesus is not is selfish. He wants to share everything with us. And the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, is, among other things, so that we can share in Jesus and share in the life that Jesus and the Father have together with the Spirit, and to know the truth that sets us free. And all things, Jesus said, all things that are mine, I'm giving to you. And the Spirit is going to bring it to you. He's going to lead you into all that truth. And so that's, he's not done doing that. I don't think there's any point in our Christian walk, our journey, our growth, where we can say, oh, I've received it all now. He's still got more for us. Still bringing it to us. It's wonderful. Who was the other reader? Joel. Come on up.
Luke 11:11-13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high. Acts 1:4-8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Amen.
and the completion of that sequence of scriptures in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. I just love that, when it had fully come. There had been many days of Pentecost, one every year for all those generations. But when the day, it's capitalized in my translation here, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And that's just kind of a wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, when this Son of Man, the Son of God, this Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But there's a personal aspect to that. A personal aspect. One, it wasn't just a big ocean of fire that came on the assembly there, but there was an individual tongue of fire upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And then that lists all the different parts of the Roman Empire they were from. "And we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, well, actually, they were in the Spirit. New wine and new wineskins. They didn't know what they were saying when they were mocking like that, that there was a truth to what they were saying. Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Heed my words. These are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Or some translations say, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." This is it. This is the real deal. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This feast of Pentecost is an ongoing feast. We are living in the feast of Pentecost. The church is still in the day of Pentecost. I believe that capital D, day of Pentecost, has never gone away. We're in that day of Pentecost. We're in that day when the Lord is pouring out His Spirit. And there are, through history, we see ebbs and flows. When it seems like there's more of the Spirit in this generation, less in this generation, each generation, it seems, has to acknowledge its need and cry out to receive from the Lord. But the Lord loves to fulfill His Word and pour out His Spirit. That's the kind of God He is. He loves to do that. Anyway, it's on my heart that if anyone wants prayer tonight, that we could pray for you. And if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you want to receive more of the Holy Spirit, if you want healing, if you want any of the gifts of God, anything you might want prayer for, that we can just gather as a body. We can all gather around and pray. Or we can all gather around and pray for all of us.